Annyeonghaseyo. Good morning. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served between the morning services, and there will be a reflective service here at 6:30. Pastoral news. Eddie Kerr has had his surgery, and Phyllis Cochran is now out of hospital. As the weather turns colder, please remember people without warmth over the night. I would like to thank all of you who serve this church through being listeners in the foyer. Next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday. Our combined morning worship service will begin at 10:30, and this service will be followed by our church meeting. Don't forget the concert to celebrate Tony's 50 years as our church organist. This will be in the church on the afternoon of Sunday, the 12th of November, at 3 o'clock. It will last just over an hour, with refreshments to follow. 15 church musicians plus the KURC chorus will perform music from 4 centuries by 13 composers. Some of the music has been specially composed for the event, so do invite your friends and relatives. Tony told me he knew nothing about it. But in the evening, on the 12th, we have our reflective worship, and it will be a time to remember those you love who have died. Please come and invite others who may find such an event helpful. This week, work will be done to install a cupboard in the sanctuary. It'll be over there. And I want to give you forward notice that starting at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, the 15th of November, there will be 24 hours of prayer. And if you'd like to contribute to that, please contact Leslie. Thank you.
And I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. And they were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And all God's people said, Amen. We join our voices, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you.
We join to pray. Let us pray. Holy God, you call us to be your holy people. We come together as sinners who long sometimes to be saints, sufferers who long for joy, doubters who yet often believe. We want to praise you, not only now when we gather in this place, not only with words, but with all that we do every day. We want to serve you and our neighbours, but we know that we can only do that with your grace. We want to be holy, not just in this place, but in every day of the time that we have to live. We don't have clean hands and we don't have pure hearts. But you welcome us to the holy place of your presence. You feed us richly with joy and you bless us with your presence. For you are God who is making all things new. You are God who can turn our sorrow into joy, our death into life, and sinners may recognize. Thanks be to you, most holy God. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, and let's say it in our first language or the language of our heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
Now, I'm not much of a magician, but I want to try something today. I've got a magic box, I've got a coin. And if it works, if I put the coin in the box, it should disappear. Shall we give it a go? Is it in there? Can you see it? Ah, you are clever. Let's have a look. There's a secret compartment. But for a minute, I think it looked as if it had disappeared. Thank you, Leslie. So things aren't always quite as they seem. Excuse me, I need my crib sheet. Right. Who fancies a cake? I'm afraid there's only six, but so we'll have to save it for the front row. So, have a cake. And you are even allowed to have a little taste now. Well, what would you expect to find in a cake with gold glitter on the top? Dahi is very suspicious. Come on, take the paper off. Take the paper off and have a little bite. I promise it won't poison you. It is very edible, yes, even the glitter. Even the glitter is edible. You've got sweet, you've got icing. What else have you got? Perhaps we ought to ask the grown-ups to have a go. Go on, be brave. What is it? What is it inside? What colour is it? Right, okay, well, I promise you it's not poop. It's salty. It's brown like... It's Marmite. If you... But not in a cake, no. Jack is munching away quite happily. So the whole point of that really was that you had a cake which you thought would be nice, and if you like Marmite, you might still think it's nice, but you hate it. Oh dear, well, that made my point. But it wasn't what you expected, was it? What might you have in a cake? Nothing. Jam, perhaps, yes. But you don't normally get Marmite. And sometimes people aren't like they seem on the outside. Your cakes looked all nice and sweet and lovely. Well, the glitter was edible too, I promise. I thought I might cover up the... Anyway. Sometimes people make themselves out to be different. They make perhaps think they're bigger or better or cleverer than they really are. And Jesus said, that's not what we should do. We should be honest, not try and boast about things, and just do things that the way he would like us to do them. Just like some of the people, like the people that we call saints. There's some water outside, I promise.
A high moment making Ray eat Marmite, I have to say, that's a great thing. Let's join together to sing Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, as we divide into groups, we know that you will be with us, whether we stay in this place or move to another part of this building. For you are God, and there is more to learn about you. So open our ears and open the mouths of those of us who would speak. In your name we pray. Amen. So the next time we do that song, hey, Dahi, the next time we do that song, thank you, Lord, for, we're going to have for, thank you, Lord, for Marmite cakes. Okay, I'm counting on you remembering. You've got to remember. Or we could go, thank you, Lord, for disgusting cakes. No, it doesn't work, does it? Okay. Marmite cakes. Delicious. There's a huge percentage of the Bible that is poetry. Poetry. We need to remember that when we are hearing it read and when we're reading it ourselves. So think about the stuff that you would expect from poetry. If you were reading a bit of poetry or hearing a bit of poetry, remember what you think about. You know, you would think of it as something that points towards the truth. That's how you would think of it. So hear these words from Revelation. Steve Wenman is reading this passage to us.
Revelation chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back. Sorry, if I got the wrong. I think I've got the wrong bit. Sorry, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." All the angels stood round the throne, the elders and the four living creatures. Then they threw themselves face downwards in front of the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." One of the elders asked me, "Who are these people dressed in white robes, and where do they come from?" "I don't know, sir. You do," I answered. He said to me, "These are the people who have come safely through the terrible persecution. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. That is why they stand before God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will protect them with his presence. Never again will they hunger or thirst. Neither sun nor any scorching heat will burn them. Because the Lamb, who is in the center of the throne, will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Thank you. Christians use the word saints in two distinct ways. Firstly, everyone who follows Jesus is a saint. It's not about people who are saintly. It's about people who know their need of God and commit themselves to keeping their eyes on God and allowing the Spirit to do her work in them. It's about being in community with others and together being shaped by Jesus. And that is the usual Protestant understanding of the term. The other way, which is the more usual way that saint is used, is of an exceptional person. Peter, Paul, Luke, John, Martha, Mary, and Martin Luther, Calvin, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa. Exceptional people in which God is at work in a way that God is not at work in everyone else. I want to say to you, let's ditch that lot. It's not helpful for us. We need to be aware of our sainthood while we're at our computers, when we're chopping onions, when we're on the phone, when we're wondering what to say, when we're spending our money, and on, all of life. That is where we work out our saintliness, and we do it together. And we need to be aware that all of us are saints, and we do not abdicate this to one group of people who we think of as exceptional characters, and therefore all the rest of us are let off the hook. At the communion table, we talk of the communion of the saints. What sort of saints do we mean? I would suggest that we are focusing on ordinary people like us who are trying to follow Jesus. What impact should the dead have? This communion of saints who have gone before us in our church life. It's not our way to commune with the dead. According to our scriptures, it says that it is possible. It also says that it's not right. But that doesn't mean that the dead do not have a massive influence upon the living and upon the culture of any group. So the story is probably of a mythical church where they always had the notices at the beginning of the service. And the minister decides that for whatever reason, he, she's going to move them to the middle of the service. And at the end of the service, the minister is taken to task and told off and said, you can't have the notices at that point because those that teach the children won't hear the notices, which would be fine were it not for the fact that there hadn't been any children in that church for decades. There is a view that every church has its particular way of being church. How do we cope with being church when the place in which we are set has changed so much and the times that we live in are so different? For some of you, you have a strong sense of responsibility to hold this church true to the saints of the past. But sometimes we have lost the bigger picture. All the methods that people used to use were appropriate to their times. However excellent, there are other factors that now are at play. Sociological factors, gender issues, church shape, ecclesiological views, and on and on and on. The saints of yesteryear, who are part of this communion, wouldn't even recognize this building. But hopefully, they would recognize us as fellow travelers with them. They would see us as people trying to do our best, empowered by the Spirit, and doing what we do together. Our methods would be different, but our target would be the same. Glorify God, learn more of God, serve God, and do it in community. But to do it in a way that allows others to play their part too. So we are people who have been, we do not have our own white robes. We do not have them. And we are people who need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb to be made pure. And clearly, when I say these phrases, I'm talking poetry. If you know, the washing science doesn't work. We are in the world of metaphor, and it means that we need Jesus. We need to the intention of God to be people who are moving towards holiness and who recognize that we cannot do it on our own. We need the living, we need the dead. But I just want to comment that when I conduct a funeral, for it is my life, I'm struck by how quickly people forget the faults of the dead. We amplify the faults of the living and ignore the negativity of those who are dead. It is normal, but I want to say I think it's unhelpful. You know that phrase, never speak ill of the dead? I think we should chuck that out and start saying, never speak ill of the living. We need to remember that in our dealings with alive people every day, one day those people will be those dead people that suddenly don't have any faults. How would you feel about the way that you are relating to another person if you remember that actually one day they're going to be dead? To live above with saints we love, ah, that will be a glory. To live below with saints we know, that's a different story. So we come together to this table. This table that takes us back to the core, to the center. For we are all receivers here. The brainiest of us, the fittest of us, the cleverest of us, all of us come to this table with empty hands, as the saints have done before us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us be still. We hold up before you, O God, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints around the world. We pray for the persecuted church. We give you thanks and praise for those church communities, those groups of people who have helped us in our development of our understanding, catching a glimpse of you. We pray for them now. We pray for those individuals maybe parents, maybe youth leaders, maybe neighbours, maybe elders, those who helped us. And we pray for those who teach the young people in the life of this church. We hold up before you the leaders of the young people's groups. We pray for Steve Wenman, and we pray for Sally Butler. We thank you, O God, that we are free to gather to worship you today. And we pray for those places in our world where people are not at liberty to move out of the place where they are now because it is dangerous. So we pray for those places where there is war and pray for peace. And we pray for those who will spend the day trying to get enough food, trying to get enough water. And we ask, O God, that our worship together would be that which would transform or begin to transform the people that we are. Tender Spirit of God, lead us. Gentle Spirit of God, move us. For we would be your people. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's, as God's people have done through the centuries, let us continue our worship by making our offering. Let us pray. Receive these gifts that we bring. If they are not the best that we could offer, challenge us. Receive these gifts of bread, of wine, of money, of the people that we are. May they all speak of your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it, to put this thing that's a magic trick on a communion table. Isn't it interesting in the sense that this is not what it appears. It's not what it appears. These are not little bits of bread. This is not red stuff. These are the things of heaven. They are designed to remind us of that which is eternal. Maybe we should keep this all the time. Maybe we should make you do a conjuring trick. We join together to sing the hymn, Come, Let Us Raise Our Cheerful Songs, which you'll find at number 382.
is join a cheerful song. People come from the north and the south, from the east and the west, and they will come in their frailty, and they will come in their ignorance. And some will come thinking they have earned a place here, and some will be reticent and hold back. But all are welcome, for this is the Lord's table. For the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take these gifts and we give thanks. Let us pray. Eternal God of the living and the dead, we thank you for all those people who by their love, their inspiration and their kindness have made this world a better place, or who have made us better people by their influence, by their example. We give thanks for all the saints, for the famous ones and the little ones, those officially recognized and acclaimed, but also for the majority, those who had a particular grace that was known only to a few. For that multitude of humble saints, those whose stories we can tell, we thank you. We thank you for those saints with whom we gather every week, those frail and failing people like us, with whom we share faith and worship, those people who are trying to do their best, Lord Jesus. Those who reveal to us the Holy Spirit at work in different ways. We thank you for this table, which unites us with our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world and through time, in all those places where we have gathered. So pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ. And pour out your Holy Spirit on us and all your saints. We thank you for your presence in human lives. We give you thanks. Alleluia. Amen. It was an ordinary meal. How were they to know? And he suddenly took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." What did that mean? And he took the cup. "This is my blood," he said, "shed for you." What on earth was he talking about? The body of Christ. blood of Christ. So let us pray. Holy and generous God, you call the church to be holy, to show by our living that Jesus is Lord, and to be credible ambassadors of your good news. So we ask that this table would increase our confidence to act out your word, a purity of mind and motive, a loving commitment to one another, deeds that get beyond clouds of selfishness and suspicion. We ask for a holiness that comes from you. And we ask that you would enable us to be your saints, so that we would reflect your renewal of us. Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing. Obvious choice, really, after that topic. Hey, you know, only an idiot wouldn't pick this hymn. And this idiot did pick this hymn, For All the Saints, 658. So God sends us out with encouragement and with challenge to lead lives worthy of God's reign and glory, to live in faithfulness to one another and to God who calls us forth in service. And may God be praised in all we say and do. May we be gentle apostles and courageous disciples. And all God's people said, Amen.